I don't know why everyone always says to me that. So what's the good stories? You have good stories. I'm going to start with a story. Even though. But there's a story we're holding now. We just lay in Parsha Shemitah, and we're holding Erev Shemitah. This coming year is Shemitah. There's a true story. There's a guy named Doron. Doron, he married Ilana from Massachusetts. And they live in Kibbutz Azaria. And he's not a Shemitah person, and it seems like he was, I don't know him personally, but it seems like maybe he was traditional. He was visiting a friend, he was in someone's vineyard in a neighboring farm, and while he was at that vineyard, so there was a Rav with his son there, and they were making wine. He turns to Doron, he says, "Are you a farmer? Are you a farmer?" He says, "Yes." He asked him, will you be keeping this upcoming Shemitah? So he said, "I'm not really planning. I've never done something like that before. I don't know that I could. I don't think I could afford it. It's a very big undertaking. I don't think so." He says, "Listen, I just want to tell you something." He says, Klai Yisrael have been waiting almost 2,000 years to come back into this land, into Eretz Yisrael. It's been vacant for almost 2,000 years. We've been waiting. And to add to that, the farmers in this country are around 2% or less of the workforce. So you have a very unique mitzvah that's for you. No one else can do it. People have been waiting almost 2,000 years to be able to do this mitzvah. And here you have the opportunity, and you're one of a 2% from the entire country that's able to do this. It's a very special mitzvah. Just think about it." He said, "Okay, I never thought about it that way. I will think about it." He went home, he spoke to his wife, and it was, they didn't make a decision on the spot. Over time, they decided they're going to do partial. Their open fields are going to leave fallow, they're not going to touch them, they're going to keep Shemitah. But they have a very, very lucrative contract signed with different companies for their eggplants. And he has these huge greenhouses, and I can't forfeit my eggplant business. So 2 days after Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah started. He goes into his greenhouse and he starts planting these little saplings. He gets to Yom Kippur. He's in shul, his wife's also, and they're both having this fight within themselves, unknowing of the other one, but what are we doing? Either we're doing it or we're not doing it. What is this? We're not doing Shemitah like this. This is not called doing Shemitah. If we're going to do it, then we're doing it all the way. And if we're not going to do it all the way, then we're not doing it at all. And they met afterwards, and he's telling her, and she's like, "Well, I was thinking the same exact thing." And the next day, he walks into his greenhouses and closes the water system, the irrigation. He goes in 2 days later, and he sees that they're still growing. And not only they're growing, usually at this stage, 2 weeks, they're holding around 2-3 inches each. Plant has grown around 2-3 inches. They're holding it 2 feet. They're growing at a not normal rate. And he's like, "Whoa, what's going on over here?" And he realizes he has a problem on his hand because he planted these in Shemitah. He planted these after Rosh Hashanah. It's usher to eat. People are going to come into my field and they're going to eat them. So he did something he never dreamed in his wildest dreams he would ever do. He took out poison, plant poison, and he walked through his greenhouse, spraying up all of the plants. The next morning, everything was limp, bent over, dying. He said he felt he had to hold back his tears. He felt like he was next to a relative who was leaving this world. That's how he felt. His name went out. It spread. And I think it was Mishpacha. One of the magazines sent two young girls to meet with this couple, to interview them, and they show up and they're asking all different types of questions. Fascinating. They're writing a whole page on them, and when they're finished, the two girls are single. They say, "Can we have a bracha? We want brachas that we should become kalas." And Haron's like, "Go to Ilana. She's the force behind here. She's my strength." And Ilana's like, no, "Go to Daron. He's the one over here. He's." And finally, give them a bracha. One of them, after 3 weeks, became a kala, and the other one, within 4 months, 3 months, became a kala as well. people started flocking to this Kibbutz Azariah to give them names for different tefillos and everything. In Mamish, they saw unbelievable nisim, people with machlis that the doctor said there's no hope, recovered, all different types of crazy things. People had children that never had children. Ilana had a book. She was writing every name that people came. She had a book with over 1,000 names. Every Hadlakas Neiris, every Shabbos, she would sit there by the Neiris, davening for over 1,000 names. Sometimes Doron would come back after Shul. He would come back. He would wait. He would still be waiting for her to finish davening for all the names. So Yudua Reb Chaim says that if a person wants a bracha, he should go to someone who's a Shomer Shemitah. What's Pshat? What's Pshat? What's Pshat that gives? He was a farmer. He is a farmer. He's a farmer. He might be like, you know, the fullest meaning of an Am Haaretz. He works the land. He does not, he's not a learned person. He didn't even have a Havamina to keep Shemitah just a few months ago. He didn't have a Havamina. What gives him such a koyach, such a power to give a bracha like that? That's making miracles? Open nisim. There's a medrash that says the pasuk in Tehillim, it's perek kuf gimel pasuk chaf. It's a medrash in the beginning of Vayikra. Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Vayikra. It says Baruch Hashem Malachav. The malachim, the angels, they bless Hashem. Giburei koyach, the strong warriors. Oisei dvaroi, they do His word. Lishmoya bekoil dvaroi. Doesn't bring the last word to the pasuk. I think it's l'shmoya b'kol dvaroi. And the Medrash says, first the translation of the pasuk. The pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Malachov, the Malachim bless Hashem, the Gibure Koyach, the strong ones, the powerful ones, the warriors, they bless Hashem. Who are these people? The Oisei Dvaroi, the ones who do Hashem's words, l'shmoya, to listen b'koil, to the voice of dvaroi, of His words. Says Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, B'Shermei Shvius HaKosav Medaber. This pasuk is talking about Shermei Shvius. Someone keeps Shemitah. Someone's a farmer, and he keeps Shvius. He's a malach. The Torah compares him to a malach. B'Noik Shaboyelam, what's Pshat? Because the meaning of the world is, the way things go, are that an Adam Oise Mitzvah, L'Yoy Mechad, a person has a mitzvah. He has a hard time. There's an assign in front of him. It's a hard time. So for one day he's able to hold strong. L'Shabbos Achas, for a week he's able to hold strong. L'Chodesh Echad, for a month. But now you're already pushing it. To go after a month already, Shema L'Sharya Maisa Shana, a whole year? V'Dain, and these farmers, Chamei Chakle Beira, they look at their fields that are being left alone. He can't work his fields for an entire year. They're just empty. Karmaya Baira, his vineyards are being left empty to die, not to die, whatever, to be left unworked. He's not bringing anything in from them. The Yahweh Arnoina Vishosik, and he has to pay the land tax as well, and he stays quiet. People come in and they take, and he's quiet. He's mafker his fields. The Medrash is telling you tremendous yisoy. The Medrash is telling you that a human being has a nature, and that nature is we get excited from things. We get a hislavos, a fire. And we're able to do mitzvahs with that. It helps. I almost said Brin. It wasn't sounding like myself. So, but a person gets a hislavos and he goes, and that hislavos pushes him. It gives him an energy, and he's able to do a tremendous amount because of this energy that's getting him going. And it's a good energy, and a person should use that energy. But what happens after a week? Every day, a person starts losing that energy. It starts to go down. It starts to out. It's hoylech v'poiches. It gets less and less. And then you're left there trying to do this avodas Hashem, whether it's a mitzvah or to not do an avera, and you don't have that energy. The islavos is gone. So now what? So now you fall. This farmer, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, for a year straight, is keeping up his fire, is keeping up the mitzvah, even though it's difficult for him. He's going against his nature. He's going against the nature of a human being. Someone who's able to be oimid against the teva, he's able to change the teva. He can give a bracha to someone who's dying, and the person will have a refuah shleima because he's lamalim in a teva. He's living himself a life that's not human. He's not allowing his human nature to lose the hislavos like everybody, like what happens to regular people. And he keeps going for a whole year straight. So he has the ability to give a bracha that's also lamala min atevo. In the Haftarah this week, Bamidbar, there's a pasuk that says, V'hoya b'makom asher yoyma lehem loy ami atem. Yoyma lehem b'nei kel chai. Instead, b'makom, in place of telling Klai Yisrael, who are being choyte, Klai Yisrael being choyte, the Navi's talking and saying that even though you're doing averas, instead of Hashem telling you that you're not my people, which when a person does an avera, he's not b'chlal amisecha, instead of Hashem telling him that, even though that's the halacha, so Hashem tells him, you're my children, you're the children of Hashem. B'nei kel chai, you're the children of Hashem. And it needs an explanation, because when a person does certain averas, there's a certain level of not b'chlal amisecha. You're not his nation, you're not, if Avada, you're still a yid, and you could do tshuva, but right now in your state, you're not b'chlal amisecha. So why instead of Hashem, instead of telling them that you're not my nation, he tells them you're my children? What's taka pshat? So the stipler says, one pshat, he says that when a person does tshuva me'ava, he brings a gemara in Yuma, a person does tshuva me'ava, you do tshuva out of love for Hashem, all of your averis turn into schuyas. All your averis turn into schuyas. So that's pshat in the pasuk over here, that when a person did averis, so that those averis is the place where Hashem says, loy ami atem, you're not my nation. That place itself, when you do tshuva mi'ava, it's going to switch around and it's going to become b'nei kel chai, you're my children. That the averis themselves are going to become b'nei kel chai, you're my children. But then the stipler says another pshat. The stipler says that the derech of the world is when a person has taivas, a person goes after his taivas, you don't get bored of them. I'm saying, of course, we could talk about it. There is a certain level of boredom, whatever. But a person's not satisfied. He needs something more. He needs something more. He eats. He needs more. Right now, I'm full. But he's not. He needs something more. And he might get bored of pizza. That just makes it now that he needs something else. But the taivas get stronger and stronger. And every taiva, and every dover, gashmi, it gets stronger and stronger. You don't become satisfied. Whereas in Ruchnius, it's the opposite. In Ruchnius, a person could learn a geshmaka seder, and he feels after that seder, he's like, I learned good this seder. Now I can go. You don't feel this drive that I need to learn more now. Maybe one day a person can get to such a level, but what the teva of Torah and mitzvahs is that it satiates a person, it calms a person, it's calming, and you're not left with this need, I need more. It doesn't leave a person with that feeling. We all know it, right? A person feels, I'm calmed, I'm okay now, which is a very dangerous thing, even though it's a nice feeling to feel at ease. A person runs after his averis, he's always not at ease. He's always, what can I have now? A person is learning Torah, he's at ease, I'm calm, I feel good, I feel very comfortable in my life. But there's a big danger in that, and that is that a person could start his whole avodas Hashem could become by rote. It could become mitzvahs anasha melumada, that you're just serving Hashem, just going through the motions, because there's no energy. You're good, so you start just, you know, every day you just keep your seder, you wake up the same time, you learn your same siddurim, and you do whatever you're doing, and there's no energy being built. You're just always good, which could be very detrimental. A person could eventually become to his whole avodas Hashem becomes by rote, which we all know is not a good thing. We want that you should have heart and lave and energy in your avodas Hashem, not just going through the motions. Says the Stipler, that's pshat in tzaddik yipol sheva pamim v'kom. A tzaddik falls. It's part of the bria. It's part of our avoda that when you're doing good, you're learning. There will be nefilas. There will be falls. But why? Those falls for someone who wants to do the right thing are the most painful thing. Someone who wants to do good, someone who's trying to do good, and he's on a roll. But it's kind of like became by rote, and then he falls. It's the most painful thing for that person. I don't want to fall. Why did Hashem create this falling? This tzaddik yipol sheva pamim. Why did it have to happen? And the Stipler says because there's a tremendous smile in it. It wakes a person up from his mulumada. A person was living his avodas Hashem by rote. He was just going through the motions until all of a sudden he finds himself, oh, I just fell. And now when I fell, so now it scares me. Maybe I can lose everything that I have already. So I can't just be going through the motions. I can't just be continuing my avodas Hashem by rote, milumada. I have to be on my game. I have to pay attention. I have to get involved with my heart. I have to make it more real. And that's pshat in the pasuk, bimkom. Instead of Hashem saying, it doesn't mean instead, it means that those nefilos, which look like a nefila, it looks like an avera, to etz them right now, it is an avera. It is a nefila, but the whole purpose of that nefila is that you should get a hold of yourself and rise yourself even to higher madrigas. And that's why Hashem, in those places, those nefilas that were meant to bring you to a higher place, they're meant to wake you up, to get you out of your stupor, those nefilas, those are the ones that Hashem is going to say, instead of me saying that you are not my am, Hashem is going to say, you're b'nei kelka, you're my children. So again, I'm just bringing that this pasuk in the Haftarah this coming week. I'm bringing it to show that this is the tev of a person. A person loses his islavos. We're trying to do good. You come to his mind. You have this excitement. I'm going to do good. I'm going to shtai. And then somewhere along the line, sometimes earlier, sometimes a little later, it like deadens. It becomes cold. I don't know why I'm here. I'm not. And you're still learning. I'm just not feeling it. That is natural. That's what happens to us. That's because we're human. We're human. If you didn't do that, if you're able to hold against that, then you're a malach. Then you're fighting this human nature, the human nature which just becomes cold eventually. You're fighting it and you become above that. You're like a malach. But is this all we're hoping for? Is this what we want to achieve? Is this what our Avodas Hashem should get to a flat line where it's kind of cold and not energized? Chas v'shalom. What can we do that we don't have to wait for those falls to reawaken us? What can we do on our own that could bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That could add an excitement and an energy into our Avodas Hashem? There's different mitzvahs that we have that are optional. Karbanos, there's different karbanos that are optional. There's nezirus is optional. There's a whole list of different mitzvahs that you're not chayv to do them. If you have an adivus halev, if you want, you could do them. And there's other mitzvahs that you're chayv to do them, but there's no shir. Truma, you could patra a whole kri with one chita. All the things that we say after birchas haTorah, shein lahem shir. A lot of different mitzvahs that Hashem didn't tell you how much you have to do. It's left open for you to choose. Why does Hashem do that? The Stipler asks, why does Hashem give us mitzvahs? If they're integral, if they're needed for our avodas Hashem, so Hashem should tell us to do them. And if they're not needed, so then we shouldn't need them. Why did Hashem give us these mitzvahs that are almost optional? So the Stipler said, because there's a klal that the Chitzonius is Ma'ir the Pnimius. Mesilas Sharm speaks about it. When we do external acts, it arouses our insides. When everyone knows when there's a shiva hits you to come out of your bed in the morning, it doesn't it doesn't get you excited to daven. It doesn't like add to your excitement. It's like, yeah, now I want to daven. Okay, you have to be responsible. You have to get out of bed. If you're sleeping in through shucks, you're going to get hit because you have to be a man. Don't be a weak sauce. You have to take responsibility for yourselves at some point. So you'll get hit. But it's not going to get you excited about your avodas Hashem like that. But if a person on his own says, you know what? Not because of the Rosh Hashiva. Nothing to do with the Rosh Hashiva. I'm going to get up on my own today. I'm even going to come 5 minutes earlier today. I'm going to spend the first 5 minutes of Seder without speaking to anyone. And just learn. Just learning with my chavrusa. I'm going to help somebody in the dining room on my own. No one asked me. I'm going to do something for my parents without them asking me to do it. You know what that does to a person? You know that it creates a ahava? The Rambam says, how could a person come to Avas Hashem? The Rambam says that the more a person is mizboinin in the godless of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, the infinite chachma of Hashem, so a person's going to get this taiva to know Hashem. That's what the Rambam says. The Chovas of Avos says, the more a person thinks about the chesed that Hashem does for you, that he gives you eyes, and he gives you fingers, and he lets you wear, and he gives you children, and he gives you food, different colors and tastes, and that's going to bring you to Avas Hashem. But what happens if a person is, there's too much timtum alev. The lev is covered with too many layers of chet, and it doesn't feel anything. A person could think about Hashem's greatness, a person could think about Hashem's kindness, and it doesn't be mashpia on my heart. So the Stipa says that Hashem gave us an extra Eitzah. And that Eitzah is to do things on your own. When you do things on your own, that is the chitzonius. You're doing an external thing that is ma'or, your pnimius, is going to arouse your inside. It's going to change your feelings towards Hashem. It's going to bring you to love Hashem because you're doing it without being asked. The more you're able to, the more you do things on your own, the more it brings you to feel the emotion. And that is so that's what we're saying, that a person doesn't have to wait for the nefilas to come, that that's going to wake you up. A person could wake himself up. A person doesn't have to come to those falls. A person, all you have to do is start doing things a little bit on your own. And when you, now, that's why Balei Tshuva and Geirim, a lot of times you find that they're like, they're really strong. You're like, wow, if I could learn like that guy, if I could daven like that guy, because there's an energy that's created in him. You know what created that energy? He did it on his own. He feels like he's doing something on his own. That creates this energy in him. Even though right now he's a ger, he's chayev, just as much as I'm chayev. Doesn't make a difference. He started on his own, he initiated on his own, and that creates a energy. The Rekeach says that he has a lashon, his quote is, Ein chasidus kibitchilasa. A person starts with the chasidus. He does something extra, he's doing something more than he needs to do. Only for a certain amount of times is going to be with that energy, with a fire. But eventually, it's not going to stay that way because it becomes part of, this is his norm. And once it becomes part of his norm, it's not extra, it's not going to generate that energy, that love. A person has to always stay one step ahead. So what do we say so far? We said, we brought a medrash that says that the Shomrei Shemitah have a koyach to give brachos. And the reason is because they go against their nature. They don't let themselves burn out. And we're saying now that a person, the Torah was given to all of us. The Torah wasn't only given to farmers. We all could have been farmers. The Torah was given to all of us. We all have this ability, even without having a farm, to do this. What it is, what the idea is, that's Mavur and the Medrash, is to keep an energy constantly going, not to burn out. Not to allow ourselves to burn out. How do you do that? The chitzonius is ma'or the pnimius. A person has to find things that he could do on his own that's going to generate this love. I just want to finish off with one akuda. In general, this shmooze is really, we're before Kabbalah Satayra, and the person, we have to come, we have to... to renew our relationship with the Torah, with the mitzvahs, every Kabbalah Satayra. More than one person asked me, there's a lot of, that they feel more bad about what happened in recently in Meron, that they feel more bad that they're not feeling bad, which is a very honest feeling, and maybe some people are scared to say, but they didn't cry tears. They didn't cry. No, you don't have to cry tears. If you could feel a little bit of feeling also, everyone's different. Everyone's emotions are different. But not connecting. What's pshat? I said over a stipler now that the more a person does things on his own without being asked, the more it has a hashpa on you. A mitzvah that you have that's given to you and you're commanded so that you don't feel, that doesn't generate a love. But things that you do, you initiate on your own, that generates a love. It works the same way, the other way around. The more a person, if a person initiates an aveira, you don't necessarily have an aveira. You go looking for it. You go and you initiate on your own to do something. That's how much it's going to have an effect on your insides. I don't know what people are thinking when they go to watch these clips of people getting killed. Whether it's clips of what goes on, what went on in Meron, or these clips of some Schwarze killing someone, shooting someone. I've heard for years already that people are watching these clips. You don't realize you are on your own are going, you're initiating on your own to deaden your sensitivities to life, to aggression. On your own volition, you're going and deadening your whole emotions. And I don't believe that it's possible for a person who goes and to really feel bad, to really cry. I don't think it's possible for someone to, if he's, it's not stam like movies where someone's fake. Even that itself is dangerous, but a real murder, a real terrible Mises Mishunas that people go and watch clips for him. To me, it's pashut that it's your over lo susuru achrei lavchem achrei nechem to watch something like that. Hashem likes Ritzicha. Chas v'shalom. So why would you go and watch something that's so treif? And people do it for their own, for like fun. On the other hand, what a person could do, besides for what you shouldn't be doing, but what a person could do is to start on your own trying to care a little bit about people around you. But really sincerely caring, without no one asking you to do it, you're doing it on your own. The more a person on his own is going to think about other people, to offer help, whether it's in learning, whether it's in fixing something, whether it's in being nice to a roommate, being a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more sensitive, the more you do that, the more it's mashpia on your feelings, on your emotions. And Beis Hashem, we should be zeicha, Klai Yisrael should be zeicha to be ki ish echad b'leiv echad. We should taka all be together and care for each other. And we should be zeicha to the geula, the karov, and we shouldn't have any more tzareis.